We read in this passage in God's Word this morning, in 1 John chapter 1, we read that the Father, in verse 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Many people right now, they are thinking about the coming of Jesus Christ, His birth, His incarnation, His first advent, which means His first coming. And I want us to consider God's Word. It is so important to, when we think about God, we think about Him the way He has shown Himself, the way He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures. Not what the media would say, not what we think should be. But here John tells us a number of things in this letter about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks about the fact of the incarnation. He speaks about the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. And there are some questions that we ought to be asking. Some people do ask, how do we know that Jesus came? How do we know this Messiah of Israel actually has come? There are people would say that He is still yet to come. He hasn't come yet. But how do we, as Christians who believe the Bible, both the Hebrew text of the Old Testament and the New Testament, how do we know that He has come? But there are two main lines of evidence for the fact that our Lord's birth, His life, His ministry, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His exaltation, they all, these two lines of thoughts. First, it is His coming was prophetically anticipated. These truths were already announced by God throughout the prophets from the beginning. God frequently throughout the Old Testament announced the coming of a Savior. There is going to be someone who would be born who will save us from our sins. At this time, many are anticipating many things. Many of the things that we hope to have or to be in, or those things that we think about our future, maybe they may not happen. We live in a world that is so fickle. We live in a time that is that cannot be depended upon. The words of men cannot be depended upon. How many times you have said something and it hasn't happened? You have promised certain things and then you became ill. You couldn't do it. The very thing that you said you would do. But when God says something, He does it. And that is why we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Messiah of Israel, because those very things that God said to the prophets of old, they came to pass in Him. Right at the beginning, God promised that there would be a child born from the woman. In the garden, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, straight away, God said to them, yes, you have sinned. Yes, you will die, but there is one that is to be born who will save and who will undo the work of Satan. He will remove sin. He will crush the head of the serpent. And, for example, in Genesis chapter 3, the first book of the Bible, straight away, you have those famous words that I don't even need to repeat to you, but it is important to recognize these things, that the gospel has been there from the beginning. These announcements, oftentimes, they may not have been as clear as we appreciate it now, because we have now the full revelation and the completion of it, the fulfillment of it in the New Testament. But this is what God gave and said this, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that is, between Satan, serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this child that is to be born of the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, and we were singing about that earlier on, he will come, and he will crush the serpent's head. But in the process of it, his heel would be bruised. And then throughout the Old Testament, we read about the sacrifices that the children of Israel were to do and how those things were reminders to the nation of Israel that sin is punished by death. But all of those things, the blood of the bulls and of goats, they were reminders of a Savior who will come and who will lay down his life, that his blood would be shed. And there in the prophecy that was said in 2,700 years ago, in the prophecy of Isaiah, we read this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Again, Isaiah said this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So his coming, the coming of the Savior, was prophetically anticipated. And that's why we trust in the Word of God. These prophecies have come to pass. They have been fulfilled. Another thing is this. They are historically authenticated. This is what we are talking about. Jesus Christ is a historical person. And what he did, the places he came to, the time he came to, they're all historically authenticated. We have the four accounts, the four witnesses, the Gospels, that speak of the life of Jesus Christ, the letters, the epistles of the apostles. They confirm those things, and they show the historical validity of the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, that he is truly the Savior. And then we have the independent testimonies of even non-believers who wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were not Christians. They were Jews, they were even heathen Romans who wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that he is a historical person. We are not believing in myths. No. And so we could say with John in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come. We know that he has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So we can be sure, my friends, of his first coming, and we can be certainly sure that he will come again, as the Word of God teaches us as well. But there are five things that I want us to consider very briefly, five short points about to answer this question. Why did he come? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, why did he bother coming into this world? And there are five things that this passage will show us. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was born to be our sin bearer. He came to be our sin bearer. He didn't come to give us certain laws and regulations. No, that was not his intention. But he came to take away sin. And John tells us about this in this epistle, but chapter 3 and verse 5. This is what we read in chapter 3 and verse 5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So he says this, you know this to be true. That he was manifested, he's shown himself, he has been revealed to take away our sins. And that's so significant, friends. The fact that it says he was manifested, that tells you something, it infers something. It tells us of the fact that Jesus Christ was pre-existent. The fact that Jesus Christ lived before he was born, he was alive. He's the Son of God and was there before he was even born. And for many people, well, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. There's no doubt about that. But Christ, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, he was already there from the beginning. He's God. And so we have words such as this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Or we read these words of the Apostle Paul. Though he was rich, he says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. What does that mean? It's talking about glory. It talks about heaven. His glory as the Son of God. Though he was rich, he could have stayed in heaven. But for us, he became poor. It's talking about his condescension to become like one of us, to be a savior of mankind, that ye through his poverty might be rich, so that we might be saved, that we might be made sons and daughters of God. And so, again, we read in Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So, Jesus Christ, my friends, has always been, but he was born as a man in Bethlehem. Why did he come? The answer is to take away our sins. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's the best of news. Because you and I, we suffer with this matter of sin. All the divisions, all the heartaches, all the things that we sigh over and shed our tears over is because of sin in our hearts, in the hearts of others. We experience the consequences of what happened in that fall of Adam in the garden. He refused to believe God. He rejected God. Don't we do that? Day by day, don't we have our own way and think, well, I don't want to have all of these things. But this is why Jesus Christ came, to do the very thing we can't do for ourselves, to take away our sins. Now, you could go, as people did in those days, go and talk to the rabbi, go to see a priest, do various things, religious things, if you want to do. But how can that take away your sin? How can it take away my sin? I did go to see the priest. I did burn incense. I did all of those things. But how? Think about it. How could God take away my sins by doing those things? It would be foolish in the courts of law in this world to say, well, I will just do this and that thing, but my crimes still need to be paid for. I need to face the consequences of my sin. But Jesus Christ was sent to deal with sin. Not just heal our wounds, but take away sin. Take away its judgment and its condemnation. So don't let this be forgotten, friends. Jesus Christ is the sin bearer. Here is the reason for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye know that he was manifest to take away sin. That's one thing. So always remember that. He came with a mission to take away sin. The second thing is this. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In verse 8 of 1 John 3, we read this. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And then it says this, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Isn't it amazing? There is a devil in this world. He seeks to take people with himself to hell. He's doing all kinds of things in the background, working his schemes to destroy lives. He's after you. Even this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the fact that when the preaching of the Bible goes in congregations such as this, it's as if seed is being cast. Seed is being thrown. The gospel is being distributed. But then there are the birds of the air, the fowls of the air that come and snatch away that thing. And he says, that's the work of the devil and his demons. And they come because they don't want you to be a believer in Jesus Christ. They want you to just carry on with your life. Maybe be a little religious and that's it. But for that seed not to enter into your heart, for that truth of the gospel not to actually have an impact and affect your life and change you. He doesn't want you to be forgiven. But this is the promise that God has set here. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. There is someone greater than Satan. My friends, this morning, there are some people who are fearful. Always fearful of this and that and the other. And there are some people who are very fearful of demons and devils. Praise God, there is someone greater than any of these things. It's Almighty God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He has come and he binds the strong man, he says. The strong man in the Gospels is Satan. And Jesus Christ comes and binds him up. And so, as we trust in Jesus Christ, we are released, we are set free from the kingdom of darkness. And we enter into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What a wonderful thing this truth is. And do you know, my friend, Satan is doomed. I was talking to someone some time back, and they said, well, I thought Satan is the ruler of hell. I thought Satan is there, and he is the one punishes people in hell. No, no, my friends, Satan is punished in hell. He's destroyed in hell. Jesus has come to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, this is what we read. We read that Satan's power and person is doomed. This is written. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and shall be tormented day and night. And it says forever and ever. Satan is being tormented. But my friends, Satan is here in this world right now. And Jesus said of him, he says, he's like a thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan is a thief. He takes away your time. He robs you, spoils you, destroys you. But Jesus Christ comes to reverse the whole process and to overthrow and to remove all Satan's works. What a great thing it is to be on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing to be with the Savior of Israel than with to be on the side of the devil. Satan today is doing his utmost to keep men and women in the dark. And what is that? Mainly about the person of Jesus Christ and his authority and the authority of the Bible. And so there are many people who say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ as a teacher, as a good man, as a prophet even. But I won't accept him as the Son of God. I won't accept him as God himself. Or I won't accept his word. I talked to someone yesterday. And at the end I said, do you believe what Jesus said is the truth? Or not? That's the ultimate thing. Who is Jesus Christ? Am I going to trust what he says or not? But my friends, the devil doesn't want you to believe on him. He doesn't want you to be forgiven. The scripture says that Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And he accuses. He's the one who is called the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who comes and puts upon your heart and upon your shoulders a weight of all kinds of things, all kinds of guilts. But for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The third thing is this. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. He came to give us eternal life. And we read this in chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us. How is this love of God manifested toward us? How is God showing his love towards us? This is it. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Are you alive this morning? I'm not talking about just this life that you and I have, which can be a very mundane life. Tomorrow morning you get up, then tomorrow night you go to bed. You've got all kind of things probably in your mind. This is what I'm going to do. Your whole week is planned out. Oftentimes we get disappointed with our planning. It doesn't happen. But is that all that there is to life? Week after week, year after year. And you go through this, and then you become older in years, and then you die. Is this life? Is this the life that God made for us? My friends, here Jesus Christ has come, we are told, that we might have life through him. What is this life? Not ordinary life. This is talking about eternal life, spiritual life. Do you have that life? This was our greatest need. Because with the coming of sin, it's brought death, spiritual death. That's why you and I, we can work and we can try to earn things with God and try to be a good person in our lives. But the human race is spiritually dead. Spiritually, we are separated from God. And so that is why, as a child, when I was being brought up and in religion, God was so distant from me. And I couldn't know him. I couldn't really pray. And if I prayed, I hoped that hopefully he will hear me. And there are many people in the world who see God as distant, far away. And you just maybe pray at times and hopefully he will hear you. But friends, that is not the case with a Christian. Because we are now united with Jesus Christ. Now we are assured that our prayers are being heard by God. That we are being loved by a heavenly Father. Why? Because this separation was brought together. We are now reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men that all have sinned. And then he goes on to say, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gospel. Do you have this? And Jesus said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. May this not be the case for us. May the Lord Jesus never say, you won't come to me that you might have eternal life. You're going to hold yourself back and you're going to say, no, I won't accept this thing. No, the good news is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's to do with the fact of his birth, his life, his death. Jesus Christ was offered up by God himself, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So that's the third thing. So the first thing to think about, why did Jesus Christ come? So if someone was to ask you, why did Jesus Christ come? The answer is, he came to be our sin bearer. That is why. Secondly, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And thirdly, he came to give us eternal life. But the fourth thing, let's think about that, is in verse 10 of chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's what it means when it says he came to be a propitiation for our sins. That is, through his sacrifice, that word propitiation means through his sacrifice, he appeases the wrath of God. That God cannot be angry any longer. He cannot condemn any longer a believing sinner. A sinner who is forgiven. Jesus Christ now has appeased God's wrath. He is the propitiation for our sins. This is the love of God. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is so important, my friends, for you to consider. You cannot appease God's wrath with whatever you do, but we need someone to come and appease God's wrath on our behalf. You cannot quench this fire except the blood of Jesus Christ quenches that fire of the holy justice of God. Your sin debt, my sin debt, can only be paid by, and it has been paid by, the sacrifice, the suffering of Jesus Christ. The scripture says very clearly in the Psalm of David, it says this, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is a holy God and a righteous God, and he must punish. Jesus Christ was sent to be punished instead of us. And that's the thing. People think, well, why do you think about these things? Because that's the only way for us to know forgiveness, no pardon. Peter says to us this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Praise God for that. So these are four things we have just mentioned, that Jesus Christ came to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And finally, Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. He came to be the Savior of the world. We read these words earlier on in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This is a glorious statement, my friends. There's nobody else that could be referred to than Jesus Christ. There's no one else who would be called the Savior of the world. But Jesus Christ is. He came, he was born to be the Savior of the world. This work of salvation, which he has done, he has accomplished, it affects everybody. It affects everyone throughout this world. In this world, from every country, every language, every people group, there are people who will come on that final day and they will testify of the same thing. Jesus Christ died for me. He is the one who is my Savior. In that sense, he's the Savior of the world. Every land, the Lord Jesus Christ has a people. Every land, there are people who worship the Savior, even today. So this is the message. This is the message that was given to the shepherds when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. On his birthday, this was said of the angels that we read earlier on in Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. And this angel said unto them, fear not. You see, this world is filled with fear. But the message of the gospel is, fear not. There is no reason to fear, because Jesus Christ has destroyed fear. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Whosoever, the scripture says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At Jesus' birth, God, as it were, my friends, took off his mask. Can you see people's smiles when they are wearing a mask? Can you hear them clearly when they are wearing a mask? Can you see the expressions really when people are wearing a mask? And in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew scriptures, you have types and shadows, and you have these promises. But in the New Testament, you see Jesus Christ revealed clearly in the Word of God, and it is as it were God has taken off the mask. He's speaking clearly to us. His gospel is being preached, and we are told of this Savior who is the physician of our souls. Don't let these truths be forgotten. It's a busy time for many people. It's a time of anticipation. But may this be your anticipation to know the Savior, to love the Savior, to remember why he has come. He was born to be our sin bearer. He was born to destroy the work of the devil. He was born to give us eternal life. He was born to make atoning sacrifice for our sins. He was born to be the Savior of the world. Has he saved you? Praise God. He's saving many throughout this world. How can we be saved? The Apostle Paul answered this question. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? Calling upon the name of God. First, it means we actually believe in him. That's why we are calling upon him. And this calling is a call of repentance. Call to acknowledge, I have sinned against the Holy God. But God is a merciful God, sending us Jesus Christ. And I trust in him, and I want to follow him. Well, may that be true of you. May you sincerely go home. And if you are not a Christian, call upon the Lord. But if you are a Christian, to rejoice that these things are true. It has come to pass, and our Savior has not gone away from us. He's with us always, he says. And so we praise him, knowing that he is there in our midst. May the Lord then bless these things to each one. Amen.